لله الحمد لله بكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى أما بعد anybody recall what we covered last week in during our seerah? It was about returning to Abyssinia, to Habsha. What happened there? Once they returned to Abyssinia, what happened then? With Najashi, what happened? Ismail, remember? Sorry? So what happened once they returned? What did the Quraysh try and do to try and force their return? They brought gifts to you, right? They brought gifts to who?
So they
brought it for the king, but before that, what did they do? So they're very manipulative and they were cunning. So these Sahaba, they had returned to Mecca. Initially, they came to Abyssinia. But then they returned to Mecca. Why? Why did they return to Mecca? The rumors. There were rumors that... Yeah, that the Quraysh had accepted Islam. But why was that rumor? Because of Surah Najm. In Surah Najm, the verses were being revealed, and everyone, except for a couple, did sajda. Everyone fell into sajda. They did sujood. They were in sujood. Because of that, they believed that everyone had accepted Islam. So because of these rumors, they wanted to return. And they returned. And then once they found out, they then decided to go back to Abyssinia because they eventually had to leave. Now, what did the Quraysh now plan for them to... Okay, why did the Quraysh want them to return? What were the reasons? There are multiple, just give me one or two. Why did the Quraysh want them to return back to Mecca? مشكل جدا يعني عندي كثير So one, that if this number, about 80, more than 80 of them decided to move, if 80 moved and nothing is done about it, it gives others strength. That we can leave Mecca, we can leave our tribes, we can leave the Quraysh, and nothing will happen. So to prevent that, to stop that the audacity, they sent those after them. Also, they were around more than 10% of the population. Imagine 10% of the population leave. If 10% of your population leave, that's going to affect your economy, it's going to affect your power, it will impact you on a whole grand, level. So on a macro level and a micro level. So because of that, they sent them after them. And then they then came with gifts to try and convince the king and the ministers. So they went to the ministers. And why would you go to the ministers and not the king first? No, but no, they're going to go to the king anyway. So, but why go to the ministers first? Go on, that's like, they've got influence. I can go, you got, for example, you have an individual, head of a clan. You can go to him directly, but if he's such a strong and powerful individual, he'll reject your proposal straight away. Possibly. But you've got other little minions under him that, you know, they can fill his ear. So you'll go towards them to try and get through to the main individual.
So kind of like a lawyer?
No. This is the ministers. Certain individual they try and get through. So they were doing the same. Just give me 1 second. Let me just sort these kids out. they went to the ministers, try and give they gave them gifts and filled their ears to say that you convince the king and force their return, make them return with us. And then they did all of this. Then Najashi summoned Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who then gave that whole speech. And I'll just mention the speech when he asked about what is this new religion that you've taken. So Ja'far responded by saying, "We used to be a nation steeped in ignorance." So he showed what was their previous state, meaning we were jahil. We were in the days of Jahiliya. We were doing all sorts. What would they do? They would worship idols, eat dead meat, and perform promiscuous, immoral fahsha. They will be doing immoral acts. All these three things are things that even the Christians don't do either. So he found he's finding common ground. They're very eloquent, very articulate, and intelligent. He said, "We would break ties of kinship and treat our neighbors with contempt, basically with evil, with hatred." Again, things that align with their beliefs too. "The strong amongst us would devour the weak. They would prey on the weak." Again, something aligned with them. "And we remain in this state until Allah sent a messenger to us." Meaning this new messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has come. He is saving us from this evil. Then he proves that this new messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a good individual. So he said, he was known in the community. So he's not a strange person. He's not somebody coming from a different land. He's already known. So we can trust him. He never told a lie in his life. So again, proving trust. Then he said, he invited us to worship towards one God, Tawheed. Again, aligned with the Abrahamic faiths. And then he said, to leave idol worship. Because they don't worship idols either. He told us to abandon the way of our forefathers of worshipping stone and statues. Other nations would look down upon them to say that these are people that are doing this. So he's saying that we're leaving this backward and regressive worship and ideology towards this new faith which is pure. He commanded us to be true when we speak, to fulfill our promises and fulfill ties of kinship. So all of this, when he's showing this, he's showing that we are not people that are going to cause corruption in your lands. We're not here to cause fasad. Look at what we're being taught. He continued to say that he told us to be good to our neighbors and avoid all evil. So if you are our neighbors, are they going to be caused evil? No. He told us not to spill blood and to give true testimony. Meaning all your blood is mahfud. All of your blood is sacred. It's not going to be spilt. He forbade us from stealing the property of orphans and accusing others of adultery and commanding us to worship Allah alone without associating anything with Him. Again, we're not here to cause corruption. He told us to pray, fast, and give charity. So we believed in Him, followed Him, and had faith in Him. He worshipped Allah alone and did not worship idols. We forbade upon ourselves everything He prohibited, and we made permissible all that He allowed for us. Again, showing discipline and all the change that's in their lives. Then, through that, Ja'far, he showed why Rasulullah's decision in choosing him as the leader of the group was there was wisdom within there. Who could have articulated, been as eloquent and intelligent as him in articulating all of those things, where we will see how Najashi became convinced. He showed wisdom, eloquence, and integrity. Look at how he's touching all those topics that need to be touched. He appealed to Najashi's honor, because it's about honor in here, dignity, it's about dignity. About to his magnanimity, in the sense that, you know, as towards the end he said, "Your Exalted Highness," showing that, you know, we're not disrespecting you. Then his values, aligned values, they found values that they're aligned on. And he did all of that without compromising his beliefs. In any of that, did he change what he would believe in? Nothing. He didn't change anything. He mentioned our true beliefs without compromising. Sometimes we're in a position where somebody wants to hear something about our faith, but we don't have that in our religion, and we feel like, you know, let me paint it in a different way. Ja'far radiallahu anhu, despite being in front of Najashi, the emperor, despite being in front of him, didn't compromise. Said what Islam truly is. They accept it as we are, without compromise. Yes, chose the right words to express it. Was eloquent. Was wise in his expression, but still didn't compromise in the way he in our beliefs. Then Najashi was obviously moved by the speech and he asked, do you have any revelation? Do you have any wahi, not wahi, but do you have any revelation sent to your Prophet? Ja'far radiallahu anhu replied, yes. And then Najashi asked to hear it. So Ja'far radiallahu anhu read the first few pages of Surah Maryam. And because it includes Isa alayhi salam and the virgin birth. Najashi, alongside all of his ministers, they began to weep, began crying. And they said, Wallah, by God, by Allah, this recitation and the message of Musa alayhi salam have sprung from the same mountain, meaning they're from the same source. I mean, they're both from Allah. So they recognized it. He then, resolutely, he basically, with conviction, denied the Quraysh and told them to leave. And as they were leaving, Amr said to his companion, don't give up just yet. I've got one more trick up my sleeve. So they hadn't given up yet. They were relentless in trying to force these Muslim immigrants to return. The next morning, they returned to Najashi, the Quraysh. And they said, oh, holy emperor, we forgot to mention one thing. Tell me, if you want to attack somebody, what do you do? If you want to attack somebody, or not attack somebody, if you want to make somebody hate somebody, what do you do? Somebody hates somebody, what do you do? Ruin their reputation, that's true. You would people would ruin their reputation. Do something against them, that's true. But what specifically would you do? Sorry? Conspire, that's true. But if I want to instill, so okay, let's say for example, you want to put the hatred of somebody else in that person's heart. How are we going to put the hatred in there?
Speak bad about them.
Okay, but in what way though? See, if you insult them, if you insult that person, then fair enough. Okay, let me give you an example, right? Ismail is here. Now, Ibrahim, just an example, right? Ibrahim, he wants, okay, this is a bad example, okay. But he wants to convince me to hate Ismail, right? What's he going to tell me about him that's going to make me hate him? What bad things? Because if you tell me some negative things about him, I'm also going to hate him. I'll just be like, all right, fair enough. But hatred is something else. Like dushmani, like here, adawa is something else. How am I going to create hatred? But lie in what sense? See, he could give me any lie, but not any lie is going to cause hatred. What's going to cause hatred? Against me, that's true. Okay, against me. But what matters most?
Backbite.
But even if you backbite, if you tell me something about him that's backbiting, I'm not simply going to hate him straight away. What's going to create hatred?
Talking about his belief.
Okay, so talking about, not just belief, talking about something that he says something about something beloved to you.
Yeah.
If somebody says something about your parents, how would you feel? Because your parents are beloved to you. Now to these people, their faith, Isa alayhi salam, is the most beloved. So you're going to tell them something that is blasphemous or something against the thing which is most beloved to them. I'll give you an example. Some people love their country. So if I'm going to try and create hatred, I know that. Talk something about that person's country and that's it. The person's going to go. He's going to lose it. Or culture, anything. You find something that the person truly loves and say that person says something about that, about your thing that you find most beloved. So these, what they did was, they said, the Quraysh, very cunningly, they said, they say blasphemous things about your Lord Isa alayhi salam. So what they do? Appeal to emotion. Appeal to that emotion to say, they say this. Now immediately, Najashi calls the companions of Sahaba, and he demands their attendance straight away. See, if something is said which is negative, it was immediate attendance, or it's not taken as, it'd be okay, fine, we'll address that later. But something that beloved demanded immediate attention. He called him straight away. And when he called him, the Sahaba were now anxious, because to be called like that, it's in front of Najat, because you've already been called once. This is round number two. So they were anxious about how they would explain their stance. But Ja'far radiallahu anhu reassured them, saying, look, we will say exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to say. Don't compromise. We'll say, Isa alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah. He's a servant of Allah, a ruh min Allah, born out of Maryam alayhi salam, who is a virgin. So we're going to say the exact same. So they approached Najashi once more. So as they came to Najashi, he irritably asked, so a bit more in anger. Now remember, it's not been confirmed. These rumors are not being confirmed. But when something beloved to you is struck, you lose a little, not sense, but you become enraged. So irritably, although he was very soft, gentle, he irritably asked, what is this I've heard you say? What is this I have heard about your blasphemous views on Isa alayhi salam? So it's a loaded question. Everybody know what a loaded question is? A loaded question. Yeah, so meaning this question assumes that there's already something blasphemous in what you say. His question is, look, what is it that I have heard about your blasphemous views on Isa alayhi salam? It's a loaded question. It didn't say that, are there? He asked, what are these? So Ja'far radiallahu anhu responded by saying, Your Royal Highness, we say exactly what our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, which is that Isa alayhi salam is the Prophet of Allah, he is a servant of Allah, and he is born out of Maryam alayhi salam, who was a virgin. She was chaste, her chastity had remained. Najashi picked up a twig and said, Wallah, by Allah, what you have said does not exceed what Isa alayhi salam said by this branch. Meaning, it's exactly as what you've described is what is reality. Meaning, it's not the Trinity. It's not the Trinity. He is not the son of Allah. He is the servant of Allah. So he affirms what they've said. He then turned to Amr ibn al-As and he said, go from here. Take your gifts, for I have no need of them. He was sincere. Remember the other Quraysh that we mentioned about leaders? What happened when people came to them and complained about Rasulullah? What did they say? What did he say? He supported them to say that, yes, we need to do something about Rasulullah. Although they knew all those claims against him and all those rumors against him were blasphemous and they were lies, despite that, they acquiesced, they gave in to power, to money, to authority. They gave in to all of those. But Najashi didn't. He was offered those gifts, but he said, return, I have no need of them. He gave them security there, sincere. Turn, look, this is a few points. That of the things that the story highlights, one, look at the practicality of the companions in being able to articulate and be eloquent and express something which aligns. See, you could go and that could have been twisted around and said that, to say that, look, oh, we don't believe that Isa is the son of God, we believe in the servant of Allah. You could have said it like that. Said it like that, it would have been direct and it would have hurt them. It would have hit hard. And instead of that, he was a little more indirect, said it very similar, didn't compromise on his values and beliefs, but said it in a way which is far more palatable. And he was granted that security. They didn't dismiss themselves after Najashi's court because he was not Muslim. But they maintained their beliefs. But what they did was, they found common ground without compromising and found that. And then Najashi's response also indicates that his belief represented the oneness of Allah. He believed in Tawheed. The fact that he affirmed that he's a servant of Allah meant that he was going against his ministers, that it shows that he was on Tawheed. This could also explain why he was so tolerant of the Muslims and why he was moved by the Quran. Even the ministers were... had tears. He also explains that his response when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eventually emigrated to Medina and wrote to Najashi a letter inviting him to Islam, Najashi wrote back affirming that he was a Muslim and that he believes in Islam, saying, if you command me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will come to Medina and serve you. To leave his kingdom and to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. But Najashi's firm acceptance of the Muslim emigrants, it caused and it fostered suspicion of a group of his ministers who began to plot a coup, a takeover. Najashi set out to address this and he wrote on a parchment, on a paper, say, That I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Isa alayhi salam is the ruh min Allah wa kalimatu min Allah. He is the spirit of Allah and he is the word of Allah. Meaning, we say spirit of Allah, it doesn't mean that thing. It means that he was born without a father. So the ruh, the breath. He places parchment inside his robe next to his chest, and he clothed his problematic ministers and he said, "What's the matter? Have I not been a good king to you?" So addressing the matter. So you can put it under the carpet, but it's gonna plot, and it's going to build. So instead, addressing it, and he said, "Have I not been a good king to you?" They said, "Yes, but you have abandoned our religion and you have heretical beliefs." Meaning, it's not enough that you're a good king. We need you to believe what we believe in. Right? It's not enough that you're a good king. We need you to believe in what we believe in. So which Najashi asked that, "What do you believe?" They said, "We believe that Isa alayhi salam is the son of God, our Lord and Savior, and the third of the three, the third of the Trinity, basically." Najashi responded, "I swear by Allah that this is exactly what I believe." But when he did that, he pointed to his chest. So when he pointed to his chest, what was he indicating towards? The piece of paper which says, the oneness of Allah. Pointed to that. So this is called Tawriya, where you don't lie, but it's in a way that for safety, a person conceals the complete truth. So what he did was he pointed towards that and said, "By Allah, this is what I truly believe in." In his inside robe. Najashi overcame his ministers, but at a later date, he had another threat came towards his throne, towards his kingdom. Tensions rose from another faction within the government, and civil war was on the horizon. Umm Salama narrates that we were scared that the Najashi would be defeated, and that somebody else would be installed in his place, somebody else would replace him. We began making dua to Allah to help Najashi win and remain in power. If somebody else comes in, what's going to happen? Look, an example, right? We've got the government now. Reform come in, and what? Right?
So you want to keep the king.
So they wanted Najashi to remain. There's a bit of security, stability there. There's uncertainty. You just don't know what's going to happen. Where, what direction is it going to go in? You have no idea. Prefer that stability. Although it's not Rasulullah ﷺ there. It's a lesser of the, not lesser evils, but it's a far better scenario than having anybody else on that throne who there's this uncertainty regarding. Civil war, it did take place, and the Muslims in Abyssinia grew more and more anxious. Zubayr ibn Awwam decided to observe the battle in order to warn the Muslims that if Najashi was defeated, they could run, they could flee, because they're on the uncertainty about what's going to happen. In the meantime, Umm Salama radiallahu anha recalls that we were praying to Allah the most serious prayer, meaning with sincerity, complete sincerity, asking Allah, "O Allah, allow Najashi to remain in power and grant him authority in the land." It shows it's serious that they're making for him to remain. Zubayr radiallahu anha returned to the city a few days later yelling, "Rejoice," meaning "be happy, for Najashi has won." The Najashi and his contemporaries were fighting a purely political battle which did not directly pertain to Islam, yet the Muslims were making dua fervently for his success, for their security. You know, like the dua, وَلَا تُسَلِّطْ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا, that Allah do not put somebody upon us who is not going to show us mercy. As in meaning somebody of authority. Final paragraph. A number of years later, Najashi passed away. And Rasulullah ﷺ explained that Jibreel ﷺ informed him of his demise. How was Rasulullah ﷺ going to know? He's in Abyssinia. So if Jibreel comes in, informs Rasulullah ﷺ saying, "Your brother, the Najashi, has passed away, so pray for him," meaning he had accepted Iman. So news from Abyssinia would usually take a number of days to reach Medina. Rasulullah ﷺ was provided this instantaneously. So he performed the Salat al-Ghaib, Ghaibana Salah, which is basically Janaza Salah in the absence. We don't generally perform it. This was one of the only incidents where it happens. And for the other battles and things like that, we don't hear of it happening, which is why for us, we don't generally perform.
Only for the Najashi it happens.
Yeah. So it's only for him. That's why we generally don't perform it. If there's a Janaza in Pakistan, we don't do it over here. But yes, and examples of in Battle of Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, and all these battles where many of the companions passed away, the salah was not performed like that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undoubtedly had tawakkul, but nevertheless showed importance of planning ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq. Understand their struggles and what they had to go through just for iman. That was just for their faith of la ilaha illallah. Going through all of that. But he also shows how using certain words, being politically correct, we don't compromise on our beliefs and our values and our Islam. But we use the right words when expressing it. Don't be direct and just go and attack somebody. If you do that, what's the likelihood of them going to accept? Find ways, common ground. That's not to say we compromise. We say our beliefs unapologetically. We don't compromise on that. We do not compromise. We say exactly how it is. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. That's how it is. But we'll do it in a way wherein it's palatable. Any questions on that? Surah Quraysh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لإيلاف قريش
قاف المات قاف المات
لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع الذي
so الذي not الذي الذي and then is not عين أط قد قلنا أط أطعمهم again
وآمنهم من خوف
there's no إخفاء there من خوف yeah again بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت
Hadhal. So thal, under the front two teeth, thal.
Alladhi at'amahum min ju'.
Alladhi at'amahum min ju'.
Wa amanahum min khawf.
Wa amanahum min khawf.
Again, no ikhfa there.
وآمنهم من خوف.
Any questions? Any سؤال؟
ما ترجمه.
هو الأفضل أن يعني إذا كان شيء من بعض الإخوة العرب.
نعم.
القصة تكون شوية بالعربية حتى.
إن شاء الله.
كان يفهم.
نقدر نشارك. إلا أراد رب العالمين يعني بالجواب وكش بيد الله يعطي العلم
إن شاء الله وطالوا
للأسبوع الآتي إن شاء الله
إن شاء الله الأربعاء الجاي
عفوا
الأربعاء
نعم
الأربعاء والسبت
في كل أسبوع بعد المغرب إن شاء الله من الأسبوع الآتي إن شاء الله قد يكون بعد العشاء
السبت والأحد يوم الأطلة بها هم
عفوا في الفصحى في الفصحى في الفصحى
ما في أطلة
سبحان الله